Amen. Good morning, church. Well, it is so good to look out and see everybody this morning. My name is Andrew Roberts. I'm one of the ministers here at Livingston, and I want to add my welcome to that which has been extended to all of our guests. We are really glad that you are here and hope that you find the things that we are doing are encouraging to you in God's word and in your worship, and that you could stick around for a couple of moments after services and get to know us, because we'd love to get to know you. Also want to look out and say hello to the membership and to the brethren. I thought I'd see you, and I was looking forward to seeing you. And I'm really glad that you're here today and we can study God's word together at this time. You are the salt of the earth, the salt of the earth. God has a purpose for his people and for his church. Isn't it exciting that in the last week or so, a new sister in Christ, Katie Hagemo, she's sitting right up here up front. As God is blessing this church with growth, as more and more people are learning the gospel and coming to Jesus for the saving of their souls, you are the salt of the earth. And you know, salt only works when it's in close proximity. It has to make contact. Salt doesn't transform food from a distance. It doesn't preserve or season or awaken thirst if it stays sealed up and removed from the food. It is so easy for us to feel uncertain or even discouraged when we think about reaching the lost today, when we think about evangelizing. I think it's a trap we fall into to assume, and perhaps often assume, that all the people around us, they're hostile to the faith. They are resistant to the church. They are closed off to spiritual conversation. But I'm excited because I'm going to share some research with you this morning that paints a very different picture. And you ought to be encouraged to know that the largest segment of non-Christians in the United States is not angry. They're not anti-Christian. They're not aggressively secular, but they're neutral, passive. They're spiritually disengaged. These are individuals who are not intentionally rejecting Christ. They're simply not thinking about him at all. Church is not on their radar. And the rhythm of their life, faith feels optional. It doesn't feel necessary. That's hard for you and I to wrap our mind around because faith is so core to who we are. But that's not where they are. And what we find is that this neutrality means they're quite open to relationships, to kindness, and to gentle invitations, especially when they come from trusted people, trusted friends in their lives. And so I hope that this lesson this morning will help us to see people the way Jesus does. Our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, and friends who may be closer to the kingdom than we realize. Our goal is discernment. We need to be asking God to help us recognize where people are spiritually and to respond to that with wisdom and with love, to take a small, faithful step to open the door of the gospel to them. Sometimes the problem isn't opposition to the gospel. Sometimes the world just needs more salt. And that's the title of the lesson this morning, needs more salt. And we're going to be making some very specific application to this teaching of Christ as we think about reaching the largest non-Christian population in our land. And I want to do this especially because we are undertaking as a church a monthly effort to invite neighbors and bring friends and bring family to services. And that begins next Sunday. First Sunday of the month. And what do we say? The first Sunday of the month is always a great Sunday to bring someone with you to worship. That's next Sunday. And our first question in the People Are Asking series is, what is my purpose? That's next Sunday. And what that means is we're going to be making a lot of invitations between now and then. We're going to be making a lot of invitations every month to come and worship on the first Sunday of the month. And so I want to prepare us, equip us, just help set some expectations for this kind of a gospel outreach effort. We're going to be doing that. You are the salt of the earth. I want to begin here, number one, with the five levels of receptivity to invitations. We're talking about inviting people we know, neighbors, coworkers, classmates, inviting people we know. And I want to set some expectations by sharing with you five levels of receptivity to invitations. I'm going to be making you aware of the Rainer scale of unchurched receptivity. You may be thinking, what is a Rainer? Better question is, who is a Rainer? Let me just give you just a little bit of background. So there's a particular author and researcher. His name is Tom S. Rainer. Today he's an author and a podcaster. But for well over 35 years, he worked predominantly for the Southern Baptist seminaries, as well as publishing houses, researching religious trends in the United States. Trends, attitudes, movements in America. And all of his work was trying to find out what it is that lost people thought about the gospel, about church and so forth, in order to better reach them. He did a massive survey project and research talking to people that he identified as previously unchurched. And what he did was he went into churches and houses of faith, and he identified people who 2 years prior were nothing religiously, but they had come to convert, they had come to be a part of a church, and he wanted to talk to them and find out, what changed? What happened? Why did you come? Why did you stick? Another huge project he did was called The Unchurched Next Door, where he was going around and surveying communities all across the land, talking to people who have nothing to do with religion particularly, and still trying to identify their backgrounds, their attitudes, their beliefs, their behaviors. So all of that to say, Mr. Rainer has been an expert about evangelism efforts and social statistics in our land for well over 35 years. And he observed that people who are not a part of a church usually fit into one of five categories when they're invited. And correspondingly, we learned that evangelism changes when we realize not everyone is in the same place spiritually. Salt is applied differently depending on what's needed. So here's the scale, okay? It begins with this, the Rainer scale of unchurched receptivity. You invite someone and they're nothing religiously. Well, some people are U1, that is, they are highly receptive to the gospel, highly receptive to an invitation. You meet somebody, you talk with them for a minute, you invite them, and they are one conversation away from coming with you to worship. They are one conversation away, in some cases, from obeying the gospel of Christ. These are the kind of people that they see a social media ad or just driving by the road. They see the sign and they're like, you know what? That's enough. They pull in, they show up and they're curious. A simple invitation to these people, it's so fruitful. It bears much fruit. We'd love to find these U1 people. The second group he found, observed, are U2. Now, some of you in here hear U2 and you think spy plane. Some of you hear U2 and you think rock and roll megastars. And then the younger ones have no idea what either of those things are about. For Mr. Rainer's scale, U2 is moderately receptive to the gospel. You'll invite some people and you know what? They actually have a positive view of church. They're just not actively seeking involvement. These are the kind of folks they need maybe just a little bit of a push. A third invitation or a fourth invitation, and then they'll come. These are people who largely have a religious background. And so when you make an invitation around the calendar, and by that I mean a religious calendar, all right? This denominational world, Easter's a big one on the calendar, and Christmas is a big one on the calendar. And these U2 folks, well, they're more likely to come at a time like that when you invite them, even though they're not a part of a church regularly. These are the people when you meet and you invite them, they say things like, I really should get back to church. Maybe they're new move-ins to a community, and here in Florida, that's like almost everyone you meet. They're new to the community. And they say, I moved here a year ago. I've been meaning to find a church home. You know, thank you. These are the U2 people. Some encouragement, some repetition. It matters a lot with this group. U3, neutral or passive toward the gospel. And this is the largest group by population. We're gonna have a lot more to say about this as we go along. They are more likely, and this is encouraging, in his research he's found, these folks are more likely in their life either to remain neutral, passive, or to get closer to faith, to become you two and you one as time carries on. In other words, he's found this, they're not very likely to go the other way and become less interested or even hostile to Christianity. These folks, they're not thinking about church much, but they might start thinking about it once you start talking to them about it. I mean, they live in our land, they live in our culture. Church is something that's out there. They have an awareness, they have a knowledge, but they don't have any real experience or a personal background, a personal context for it. And I want you to appreciate with this group, salt works slowly, by presence, by consistency, by relationship. We'll talk more about them in a minute. Let's finish the scale. Some people you will invite, he's going to call you four. And these folks are resistant to the gospel, okay? They begin to express negativity toward the idea of having a spiritual conversation. It's like, no, and that's a pretty firm no. And you got to talk to them a little bit and you find out, well, they've actually had a bad past experience in a church setting, or they have a very negative conception about what the church is. You four people are people who, they'll tell you, cultural considerations are actually kind of pulling them back away from the gospel. And what do I mean by that? Well, they may not know everything about what's going on here at Livingston Church, but they do know that the Bible and Christianity presents a different moral standard than what the culture accepts, and they prefer the culture. All right? The Bible, Christianity, presents a different worldview than what the culture accepts, and they prefer the culture, so they're resistant to this. You four. These might be folks who, maybe they're backsliding from the faith, they are wounded Christians in some way, or they may just be younger people already rooted in a religion that's resistant to the gospel. A young Muslim, a young cultural Muslim, a young Mormon, a young Jehovah's Witness. They're at a starting point in a faith system that's actually resistant to the gospel. But he has found these folks certainly can be reached when we are respectful and patient, because kindness can break down one of these U4 barriers. And then we get to U5. This one is, you've probably figured it out, highly resistant, even hostile to the gospel. These people actively oppose the gospel. They do not like you when they find that you're a Christian, and they'll say negative things to you. And I will tell you that in our minds, if we're not careful, we'll think, and that's everyone who's not a Christian. They're all going to get us, you know. Once we start talking about spiritual things, they're going to jump on me, and it's going to be ugly. It's going to be bad. You ought to know that, you know, maybe 5 out of 100 people, maybe 5 out of 100 non-religious people in our country would be this U5. They're actually pretty rare to meet. Now, I will tell you this, because I've definitely met some that I would say, and that was U5. You'll remember them. You will remember them. But I think that underscores how few and far between they are. And that's what we don't realize. We get burned by that one bad experience we remember, and we don't appreciate that is so few and far between. That's not really the way most people are around us. These are the people that are the hardcore atheists. Now we're talking about devout Muslims, Mormons, and Jehovah's Witnesses, etc. These are the people making the YouTube videos, okay? I mean, that's hostile to the faith. But with you five people, our attitude is entrust them to God. Remain respectful. Just remain respectful with people, even if they're a little hostile with you. Evangelism strategy, our strategy shift when we discover, when we perceive someone's receptivity. You say, well, how do we begin to discover? Well, it's when you invite them. It's when you talk to them, and you're going to find they're going to fall in one of these areas. If someone's you want a personal invitation to worship or Bible study, that's going to be so eagerly received, and we love that. and personal connection and kindness. That is important in all of this, no matter where someone might be spiritually or their receptivity when you mention worship. And as we're inviting people, I know, because I'm the same way, I'm looking for that low-hanging fruit. Oh, baby, lead me to the U1s and lead me to the U2s. But what we need is to develop skills and strategies for the largest segment of our population, and that's actually U3. That's actually U3. So let's keep praying for opportunities and discernment. Before we go on to point number two, I want to read a little scripture with you. It's from Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Colossians 4 and verse number 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, from which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Jesus didn't tell us to conquer the earth, but he told us to season it. You're the salt of the earth. Be mindful of people outside of Christ and speak to them with speech seasoned with salt. It's the largest group in the U.S., and they need the most salt. It's that neutral. It's that passive on this scale. And so that goes to number two in our lesson this morning, which is, depending on the numbers, and I did read more than just Mr. Rayner's research, somewhere between 30 and 35 million people in our country would be spiritually neutral or spiritually passive or just simply disengaged. Disengaged. What do you mean? I mean, they identify religiously as none. We've talked about this from time to time. Evan and I both have about the nuns, and people always look cockeyed at us. I was like, it's a spelling exercise. I don't mean N-U-N-S. Those are the nice Catholic ladies. I mean N-O-N-E-S. That is, when someone hands them a survey, and what do you identify with religiously? Are you Protestant? Are you Catholic? Are you Jewish? Are you Muslim? Etc. They go all the way down to the bottom of the list and they check none. We're nothing religiously. They're saying we are passive. We are neutral. We are disengaged. These people largely are spiritually apathetic, which is different than resistant. They're not resistant. They simply do not think of spiritual matters in daily life. Faith, worship, church is just not on their radar. They drive by church buildings. I mean, we all do. They drive by church buildings and they never stop and wonder what happens inside. And so for many of them, an invitation is that kind of lights on moment to introduce to them a thought they'd not been thinking, that Christianity is something to explore. Apathetic. They're not against it. It's not on their radar. They live in a life first, or in life first, faith optional routines. You ever felt like you're too busy and things are getting past you? Maybe even important things. You ever been there? Well, we all have. We know how tricky busyness is, and we're the Christians. Busyness of life easily catches these folks, and they don't have time in their minds. They don't have time to make church a priority. It's not that they think that being a part of a church or getting to know the Bible are bad things. They don't. But they've got so many other things to do. They've got to go to work, and they've got to take care of their kids, and life is moving on. In fact, have you ever thought about where are the majority of these folks on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m.? Well, obviously, they're golfing. That's not the majority. Well, they're sleeping in. That's not the majority. They're at work. We love a preacher who can get us out of here to beat the Baptists to the buffet. And we don't realize, man, those people have been working that buffet for 6 hours already. That's the people we're talking about. They're busy. They're working. They're trying to make ends meet. And it's just not on their radar. More often, they have grown up in non-church environments. Often their parents or maybe their grandparents were a part of church, but that's a distant generational memory for them. It's really easy in our culture to grow up not in a Christian home, and we're kind of looking at a second generation of that now in our culture. So there's just no background. Life is first, faith is optional. They carry no strong church identity, either positive or negative. And really, I think probably what we would say here is you've met people and you've tried to invite them to church, and they're like, no, grandma was a Methodist, mother was a Methodist, I'll be a Methodist. That's what our family is. And that's not these people. That's not these people. And so they are far more interested in people and relationships over trust for any brand. There's no brand loyalty or stripe of Christianity that they have any allegiance to. They respond to good, genuine relationships. And probably more so than a really tight argument. Probably more so than a really slick program. It's someone who cares about them and has something meaningful to share. They'll give that a listen. They respond best to trusting relationships. That leads perfectly into this one. Have you ever had that experience where when you met someone the first time, you thought, I'm not sure I like this person. But as you spend a little bit more time with them, maybe you work on a project with them or a couple of more visits, I do like this person. And you know what? They even came to be your friend. They even came to be a close friend. That happens. It takes a few times, a few more meetings. That's kind of like these folks' attitude. They're looking for friendships, or at least that's a path to connect with these people about. Some of these other paths, they're not there. And so they value authenticity over structure, relationships over a program, people over systems. Which means it's very important that we meet our neighbors and that we meet some new people around us and love those neighbors and pray for those neighbors. That's so important because these are the people that we are most likely to meet. It's not the U4 person. It's not the U5 people. This is just the way the numbers break down. It's about 1 out of 3 of our fellow Americans identify as religious none, and the lion's share of them are neutral or passive about it. And so these are the folks that most likely are working with you at your job or most likely down the row of the lockers at your school. It's these kinds of folks. And it's been observed, they move very slowly in spiritual matters. Slowly. Slowly does not mean never. Slowly means slowly. And we need to learn patience. Over time, in relationship, folks do move from U3 to U2 to U1. But it is about having a good relationship. If we can have a personal connection, if they know someone, well, then they're more likely to come. Remember, salt doesn't force its flavor. Salt's about drawing it out, drawing it out. We're trying to draw these people out. And I think that's why it's so important that we have connection points, like our Getting to Know Livingston session. You know, the first Sunday of the month, and the elders mention it at the end of every service, we say what? If you want to know more about this church, if you want to be a member here, you should come to the Getting to Know Livingston session. Do you appreciate that that's just a low commitment, 1 hour, one shot overview of the church? That's exactly the kind of thing that very busy people might give an hour for, right? It's important that we do this and we mention it, and we don't have to wait for the elders to mention it. We could talk to people even beyond these walls about it. To reach this group, it's very important that we are active in our prayer and that we get personally connected to someone else. Paul started in Colossians 4 and verse 2 about telling the church to remain vigilant in their prayer for him, for opportunities, for the right words, for the door to be open and to preach. And we need to make those same kinds of prayers. But then look around at the people in our own sphere of influence, because salt makes contact. And salt helps move people from the gospel isn't even on my radar to this is important. This is worth exploring. That's what salt will do. And they need more salt. That's number three in our notes this morning. They need more salt. I'm going to give you three strategies, and we're trying to employ them. We can work together to do these things here at Livingston, and especially this year, reaching the largest non-Christian segment of the U.S. The first is this: to create low commitment first steps. Why low commitment? Because these folks are busy and they got a million other things going on, and they are not in a faith first routine. That's just not the way their life works. So we start small, and that's okay, because salt works small. A little bit of salt can go a long way. In fact, Julie was telling me about a time she was teaching the four-year-old class, doing a lesson about you're the salt of the earth and how important that is. And the little boy said, "But my daddy told me he's supposed to have a lot less salt." We don't need to have that kind of hypertension mindset about being the salt of the earth, brethren. Needs more salt. Needs more salt. What's that going to look like? Well, opportunities for people to invite these neutral folks to come to the church just once, to come and worship just once. That's part of the thinking behind our People Are Asking series. The first Sunday of the month is always a great Sunday to bring someone with you. These lessons are designed to be speaking to the questions that people are asking because they're typing them into search engines. We found that out. It's going to resonate with where some people are. They're going to talk about spiritual things. These are great places to start. But we're just saying, hey, just come once and explore it. Come once and try it. Second, the Getting to Know Livingston session. As I said, it's okay. It's tame. We got Nawala on the loose down here. It happens. They roll. It's okay. We need to be hydrated. We need to be inviting people to worship. Second, that Gain to Know Livingston session, that's not just something we have to talk about at the end of service. It's something to mention and work in. Well, tell me about your church. I'll tell you as much as you want to know, but I will tell you, if you want to come with me the first Sunday night of the month, they do an hour just on it. Come check it out. It's laid out so simple. It's laid out so well. And the third thing we might mention is the podcast, our Text Talk podcast. It's digital. Listen to it anytime, anywhere. It's a 15-minute devotion. It gives them a little taste of the work and teaching that's going on at this church right here at Livingston. Gives them a little taste. There's three things that check that box of low commitment, first step, but it opens a door. Second, think friendship first toward our neighbors, even those guests that visit in the church with us. Maybe there's someone I can make a new friend with. I'd like to make a new friend. I bet they need a friend. Again, salt works through proximity. And when we meet people, we gently weave our faith into our relationships. It's not that you have to take every conversation you ever have with a person and turn it into some spiritual conversation, some high pressure. You got to come to church with me this Sunday. It's not like that at all. But we don't hide our faith either. People aren't surprised after knowing us for 5 years. You're a Christian? We may have some other problems if that's the response we get. We weave our faith into our relationships. And so you don't want to have a long relationship with someone and you never talk about spiritual things and then you try to turn the relationship into that direction. That's can be a very difficult thing to do, but to be a genuine friend. And part of being a genuine friend is sharing even your faith and your beliefs about the Word of God. Be a genuine friend. People need friends. We got neighbors, but who's loving their neighbor, right? We don't see that very much. How do you do that? Well, you help with everyday stress, help with real needs. When these friends and associates and neighbors are going through some stuff, you go ahead and offer, "I'll pray for you. I'll invite the church where I'm at to pray for you." And brethren, you know, we do that all the time for different people. We get the emails come through, so-and-so's a friend, so-and-so's at my work, pray for them, pray for them. We really do that here. I'm just saying people ought to know it. It's part of being genuine friends and genuinely loving neighbors. And that's what we're about. Hey, maybe two doors down, there's a family and they got kids about the same age as your kids. And they're always playing together, out in the park. Why not offer to swap babysitting one weekend? Hey, you guys could have a date night and then we'll get a date night. And, you know, just because they're not Christians doesn't mean they're axe murderers, right? And so we leave our kids with them for a couple hours and build that relationship. Build that relationship. Practice hospitality. Come into my home. Come into my home. I'll be in your home. Friendship first, genuine friendship. Finally, make gentle, personal invitations. Now, we've already said this a couple of times. If people are really passive, unengaged about religion, they're going to need multiple invitations. Again, it's not because they are resistant. It's a new thought, and they are distracted. And what we're trying to do is alert them to spiritual reality, alert them to spiritual need, stir up some spiritual interest. As you're inviting people, you might even try some type of a progressive approach to inviting them. In other words, my plan isn't that I'm going to invite you to church today and that's it. My plan is I'm going to kind of have this conversation about inviting you to church that we're going to circle back to from time to time, right? We're just kind of putting it out there, you know? It might begin with something like, you know, at some point, I'd love for you to come and check out worship with me. Just at some point. You're not setting a date and a time, nothing like that. You're just planting a seed. And then later on, you know, I was thinking, it's probably time that you just come on to church with me, yeah? And now the invitation is, I mean, it's almost kind of just slipped in there, isn't it? It's assumed. But somebody remembers, you know, that's right. He did say something about that. She did say something about that. And then, you know, a couple more weeks later, months later, you come back and you're like, all right, when are we doing it? When are you coming to church with me, you know? Just fun, just jovial, just light. Pick a day, that third or fourth time. I tell you, I was inviting the lady that cut my hair the other day, and I have fun with the ladies that cut my hair. Sometime I tell them when they're done, I said, you need to come to church this Sunday because I'm preaching and you can see your work in action. You know, that hasn't worked, so I'm trying other things, right? So so what did I do this week? Well, this week I had one of the cards, the what's your purpose card, right? And I handed it to the gal and I said, we've got a big day coming up at church in a couple of weeks. I hope you check it out. And as soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought, aha, I'm going to be able to say that for the rest of the year. Because for the rest of the year, I can honestly say there's a big day coming up at church in a couple of weeks and I hope you'll check it out. We planned out the calendar that way. And I did use it again later in the week. I sure did. So you can take that. You can use that. But anyway, and so I said that to her and I handed her the car and she took it and she did the kind of tight grin thing. And I said, now, you know, I bug you about this every so often. And she goes, yeah. I said, okay, well, one of these days, you know. And I went on. And I went on. Gentle, personal invitations. Let's appreciate that the largest non-Christian segment of our country, they are the U3s. They are passive. They are neutral. They are disengaged. That's them. They're not against it. They're not thinking about it. And that group of people needs more salt. They need more salt. More of our patient faithfulness at taking the gospel to them. If you want to put your notes away, put your Bible away, I just leave you with this, that Jesus didn't call us to be isolated or to be invisible. What did he call us? He called us salt and he called us light, which means you be present and you be noticeable and you be helpful to the people you come in contact with. Salt has to be near food to work. And in the same way, Christians need to be near non-Christians for the gospel to be seen and for the gospel to be felt. And take courage, because most of the people around us, they're not enemies of the faith. They are our neighbors, and they are tired, and they are busy, and they are distracted, and they're spiritually unengaged. And so they don't need another pressure. They need peace that only Jesus Christ provides. That's what they need. They don't need some clever argument, but they do need some care, someone who actually loves them. A neighbor loves a neighbor. And it's actually not going to, for them, it's not going to be this dramatic moment like Saul on the road to Damascus. It's not going to be that for them. It will take compassionate, repeated invitations from people who genuinely love them. Someone like you. So let's awaken curiosity for Christ. And let's season all of our relationships with grace and with truth. And let's remember that when we stay close and we love well and we invite gently and we invite regularly, God can use even that small amount of salt to make a world thirsty for something more. We are the salt of the earth, and it needs more salt. Our brother's going to come here and lead us in a song. We call it a song of invitation. We've talked a lot about serving our friends and neighbors and a population around us. Serving them in what way? Bringing the gospel to them. The message and truth and power of God that changes lives and saves souls. It's the best thing you could ever do to tell God's word to somebody else. The best favor you could ever do. But it may be that you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you won't go. You need to become a Christian. You need to take some of the peace and forgiveness and new life that comes in Christ and by the power of the gospel of Christ. And you can do that this morning. You can do that this morning. He will transform you to make you the salt of the earth. If you would confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of sin in your life and be baptized by immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And you're a new creation. You're a new creature in Christ, a Christian. If we can help you this morning to become a Christian, or to pray for you and encourage you about any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make your desire known as we stand and sing. Won't you please come?